They fuck it up, the April Fools. They think they're funny, but they're not. Not only are they stupid tools, they're each the saddest kind of twat. But they were pranked by older clowns, whose jokes were just as bad and lame. Pathetic gags, inspiring frowns, transparent hoaxes, all the same. Fool, hands on foolishness to fool. Of lousy jokes, we've got a glut. Please listen to this simple rule and keep your fucking fool mouth shut.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Episode 25, Useless Without Pictures, with Morgan and Darren.
I'm back.
Me too.
Darren's here.
Hey man.
I didn't give you much warning that I was going to start.
Oh, that's all right. I just, you know, slip in there like a...
I know you're fast on your feet, so it doesn't matter. This is Darren Wood.
Howdy.
Latest in a long line of distinguished guest co-hosts. I guess what's the best way to describe you? We didn't discuss this. Auckland designer? Auckland web designer?
Yeah.
Auckland-based designer?
Oh.
I'm not going to say that you designed Auckland, because then,
no.
I mean, there'd be a crowd with pitchforks chasing after you.
Well, I'll read what it says on my Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Web designer and internet enthusiast.
Oh, I like that. What does mine say? Let me find it.
I think after Webstock, everyone changed it.
Yeah.
Remove the commas.
When it comes down to business, this is my one. When it comes down to business, this is what I do. Remember this face. I make this shit work. That's my one.
Nice. That needs to get an award.
Also, in parentheses, I make podcasts and short films and websites.
Cool.
Not many short films lately. I used to make a lot. A lot. All of them kind of not very good. This is episode 25, which is not necessarily significant, but as we mentioned last week, I don't know if you ever actually listened to the show, Darren, so you may not know this. We arbitrarily decided that episode 25 would be the end of season one.
It's a good number.
It's a good number. And, I mean, it's probably bigger than most. I mean, this is, of course, informed by the US TV seasons,
right,
which tend to be about 24 episodes usually, actually, but yeah. We'd already blown through 24 when I decided to do it.
Yeah, well, you there was the pilot, there was version
zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there was zero. Yeah. And there's actually been special releases as well,
right,
from time to time. And there'll be one more. There'll be a special release next week, which will be the WordCamp live show, which Ben and I recorded in Wellington in February.
Oh, cool.
And which hasn't been played at all up to this point. I haven't listened to it in a long time. It might be very bad.
Oh, I doubt
I might
that.
Regret putting it on the internet. No, it couldn't possibly be.
I enjoy those WordCamps. They're, you know, for someone who uses WordPress quite a lot, it's great to know, you know, that there are a bunch of us out there and doing, you know, especially with WordPress, you tend to live an insular life.
Yeah.
Just reading the occasional blog post. So it's good to get the perspective from, you know, other nerds.
Yep. Like, yeah, it was a surprisingly girl-filled audience. I expected it to be a sausage party, and it wasn't.
Right.
It seemed a bit dry and a bit corporate-y. I mean, you know, kind of corporate developer sort of people.
Yeah.
You know. But I guess all the people who aren't like that were probably completely bushed by Webstock.
That's right.
Which is where they presumably had been up until that point.
Fully.
In the same city, you can't stay in Wellington forever if you don't live there. Gets a bit tiresome, even when it is being beautiful and summery.
Yeah, but I think that was a rarity, really. Yeah. Yeah, fluke, better way of putting it.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they knew what to do with the weather that they were given.
No. Well, it worked for us, Aucklanders.
Worked for us, worked beautifully for us. I'll take it. It's like going to Christchurch and getting just, now probably Cantabrians will say, no, it is always like that. I've had beautiful weather in Christchurch, just lovely blue skies. What do they call them? Bluebird days? Sunny, you know, that kind of baking, roasting hot, beautiful, but drier than the Auckland in that hot weather. And just everywhere in New Zealand has something to offer.
Ain't that the truth?
Except the Auckland waterfront doesn't exist. Yeah. Well, it does, but it's full of, you know, container terminals and probably big tanks of diesel for filling boats.
Well, we do have the Britomart precinct now.
Do we?
Which is like...
Oh, God, I love Britomart, but it's not really on the waterfront. Oh, wait, it's no. Close. It's
yeah,
close.
It is close.
But that's because true. The waterfront is then separated by that thin strip of container terminal, I don't really think of the waterfront being so close. It's one block away.
Yeah, that's right. You could probably hear the water from here.
Yeah, probably just about can. Yeah. No, you're right about the Britomart precinct. I've really been enjoying spending time down there lately.
Yeah, although like I do like it on days that aren't Friday night or Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's like a douche decentralization zone.
Yeah, lots of stripy shirts.
Yeah, they've moved away from the viaduct and they're just like coming inland slightly. The bars are cool though, you know.
The bars are cool. Brew on Key is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind that one.
Does it pain you to admit all this? Because you're a Kingsland boy through and through, aren't you?
I find myself in town quite regularly, actually.
Right.
Yeah. I was down there last Friday. It was all right. It's good.
Yeah. All right, what's next? So I've been debating what I should call this episode. The listeners already know, so it's probably not very interesting to talk about it. I've been considering calling it Cliffhanger, but it doesn't work if Ben's not here. What I was going to do was an elaborate audio play where you didn't know which of us had been poisoned or shot or stabbed, but he's not here, so it's like...
So, it's clear who got poisoned.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Just like it would have been Ben.
Exactly. No thanks, I don't need another drink.
Don't need it. We're currently enjoying, speaking of drinks, lovely Japanese whiskey that Darren bought. What's this? It's Yamazaki?
Yeah, the Yamazaki. This is the 10-year-old. It's tasty.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And very, very smelly too, which is nice. You walk into the room and you know there's some whiskey going on.
Uh-huh. Did you know when you walked in the room? All right. Oh, Sting Machine's here, but she's decided she doesn't want a microphone. She doesn't like them very much. All right, what are we talking about? Oh, now something that last episode was called No Falling. I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. I went through a couple of alternates before I settled on one. Because I think April Fools is fucking bullshit, basically ruined by the internet.
Yeah.
Because before, there'd be one April Fools thing in the Herald. There'd be one April Fools thing on the evening news. Maybe there'd be something on Country Calendar. And that would be it.
Yeah.
But now every asshole on the internet who thinks that they're funny, and by the way, you're fucking wrong, does their own April Fool's bullshit.
Yeah, I saw one today, and for at least like three paragraphs, I am that guy. Yeah. I was sold. I was like, fuck me, this shit's real.
Right.
And because it spoke directly to my interests, and that was HTML nerdery.
What was that?
The HTML5 doctor built the ultimate polyfill script.
Yeah.
So you could just say like script.js ? Give me the forms or give me some other thing that your browser doesn't have and it'll just fill it in. And I was like, fuck me, someone did this. But then near the end, they were like, oh yeah, just note the date of this post.
Oh, come on. But it's not funny.
It wasn't funny. It's not funny. Frustrating.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Now, Merlin Mann said on Twitter, I mean, of course, I was raging silently. I was raging into the night, shouting at a wall myself when we hit April the 1st, when finally the US did. Merlin Mann made a post at Twitter. Fake press releases on the internet day. Let the awkward slow motion skull fuck of humor begin. And it's right because April Fool's Day isn't funny. The only person who actually defended it to me was erstwhile Discourse co-host, television's Benedict Gracewood, who said that his son really laughed when instead of giving him Vegemite on toast, he gave him Vegemite on carrots. Okay, which is great for seven-year-olds.
Yeah, I think that's as far as it extends, though.
Yes.
I would imagine Vegemite on carrots would have been pretty choice, actually.
It'd be all right.
Yeah, that seems like a flavor combo.
I'm sure there's a bunch of carrots on Vegemite. Because it's just, isn't it just a kind of boiled down brew of veggies anyway?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Or it used to be anyway. I don't know if it still is. I've read stories about, you know, the day a week when the factory in Christchurch or Dunedin or wherever they were making it used to get all the veggies in and they had like brew day.
Awesome.
Every week and they would just make this, you know, massive vats of vegetable concentrate goop.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know if they do it that way anymore. It might just be a big, you know, an industrial process. You put lignite in one side.
Totally.
Lanolin.
Lanolin, definitely, and like flavoring E22.
Yeah.
Love that.
And
shit.
Out the other end comes, I mean, they don't even, the jars come out fully formed. Just blug-glunk, blug-glunk, blug-glunk.
I love
just
it.
Just like that. It's not what you expect when you go along. There was one good thing that came out of April Fool's Day, and Google's, I don't know how many did that they did. I've avoided April Fool's stories as much as possible because, oh, fuck off, seriously. Google's one was a Gmail extension, which was gesture control. It's so funny. But so a bunch of nerds used their Kinect to make it real.
Awesome.
Even using Google's proposed gestures for all of the tricks, like licking a stamp and slapping it on your thigh. That's how you send a message. Nice. And it works.
In your face, Google.
In your face, Google. See, so it's not actually implausible. And that's one of the things about the internet.
It's
not implausible. So your thing, your polyfill thing.
Yeah. Totally. It can happen.
It's hard work, but someone could have made it.
Yeah,
it's not totally. Funny. It's not funny to be like, ha-ha, didn't actually make it. I just pretended. Bitches.
I don't know. I mean, it's... Google in particular, they constantly surprise me, and they surprise me by that bullshit gesture bollocks. But, yeah. You know, you Google the occasional thing, and the top result is sometimes a surprise.
Yeah.
And I'm pleasantly delighted by the Google, even though they are, you know, the giant evil twin of Microsoft.
Evil?
Well, of course they are. Even though their motto is do no evil. They're evil, of course.
They're not evil like Oracle is evil.
No, no.
They're not evil like Apple is evil.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Do you think Google are evil? I think that they've got a vested interest in having a great deal of information that some of us might not necessarily want to have, you know, publicly indexed and searchable.
Yeah.
But it's not because they're evil, it's because that information, if you collate it all together, you can do really, really amazing things with it, with advertising.
No, that's true. I mean I appreciate well, there you go. Exactly. I appreciate what they're trying to do, but at the same time, like all corporations, they want to make a fuck ton of money.
So, I mean, for instance, their I've completely lost orders. Oh, their thing with Gmail advertising, where people were like, you know, got all their panties in a bunch. What are you going to be reading my feed, putting ads on it? No, a computer is going to be evaluating the text for keywords.
Exactly.
No one is going to know what is in your email.
Although, did you notice this week there was a little notification at the top of Gmail saying,
yeah.
We've got some new ads coming.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Oh, boy. New ads for me. I can't wait for your new ads. Yes, I was very excited about the new ads.
Me too.
But, I mean, the reality is they're excited about it because they believe they'll be more targeted.
Yeah.
So that actually is a good thing.
I suppose.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, if all the content on a page is something you're actually interested in rather than something you'll be frustrated by, why are you showing me keep cups?
Yeah.
I don't want that. I'm not a lady.
No, that's a
I'm thinking of a keeper.
I'm thinking of
a moon cup, a diva cup. Yeah, it always freaks me out when people talk about drinking out of their keep cup.
Because
I'm like, you. Okay, wait, so you must wash it real well.
Both my wife and I have keep cups. We've got two each.
Right. And you drink hot tea out of your keep cup, do you?
Regularly.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good.
Still freaks me out.
Keep cup.
Freaks the hell out of me. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, if you don't know what I'm thinking of, I guess Google Diva Cup or Moon Cup. And then you're like, that's why he doesn't like it very much. Because you shouldn't drink out of that. Not even if you're a vampire.
Ew.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've never called you that. Before you know it, I'll start calling you Farnow and you'll pretend to be Bomber. Farnow, brothers and sisters. I don't know what this world is coming to. My levels are all wrong, which is why I'm speaking far away from my... If I get up close, it'll be all right. I'll just have to try and not speak too loudly. I've noticed that a lot of the stories I've added to the show tonight are very visual. This is going to be a problem. Given that people don't bother visiting the site anymore to look at the show notes.
Well, I don't know.
Get it through iTunes.
I think in the world of podcasting, the one podcast that's missing is a podcast on infographics.
Well, we have become that podcast.
Well, there you go. You're filling a niche, bro.
It's a niche that was gagging for a good filling in. Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the first infographic that was added into our show notes is the history of internet usage and speeds. And it's a big picture. Shall I describe it to you in words? It's got graphs on it and numbers. It's got labels and maps. It's got flags.
What color is it, Morgan?
I would call it plum.
Plum? Oh, yeah.
I'd say that background was a Not like a rich, dark plum. It's a bit light.
Yeah. But I'd go with purple, but I'm a simple man. Isn't it? Well, there you go.
It's like you're a boy.
Yeah.
So would you say that all of these bars in this bar graph, would you say that they were just all pink? Because they're not all the same color.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
This one is salmon, and this one.
Oh, that is salmon.
I would say this one is a hot pink, and this one is
I must say,
verging on a current.
Oh, current, yes. I'm fond of hot pink.
Oh, I'm very fond of hot pink. All of my clothing today is hot pink.
Yeah, I was going to mention something, but I see you're just color coordinating with that infograph.
I painted my skin purple. not visible skin, naturally. So infographics, eh? Now, there's a reason there's no podcast about infographics. Doesn't work.
Yeah, we can just edit this out, eh?
Not going to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
Discourse. When I talked to Mark Bunting on Classic Hits Waikato FM this morning, actually last night, that was a lot more professional than this.
Fucking stupid to even be trying to talk about this actually, really, yeah, isn't it?
Totally.
Now, the thing that I was really interested by, and this is languages on the internet, where English is only a little over a quarter.
Yeah.
Just a little over a quarter. Chinese by itself, it doesn't actually say which versions of Chinese. I think there's quite a lot of dialects involved there. Just about a quarter by itself.
Yeah, that is quite impressive.
And I guess, is that Spanish? Is that the Spanish flag with that crest, the yellow and red?
I think so.
Is just under 8%. Japanese, 5%. I can't recognize all of these flags.
No, that must be flags.
So that must be Arabic with about 3.3%. German, about 3.8%. Yeah. French, about 3%. And Korean, about 2%. Yeah, so English is not really, I mean, it still is the dominant language of the web, I guess, but it's not the majority used language. It's a fascinating change, because I would actually like to see, is there a graph here of language dominance tracked over time? Because I really want to see that, because it will start off super English.
Yep.
And then plummet.
No, they're just sadly not.
No.
It's worth investigating, though. That's
That would be very interesting to see. And we also see, this it's a huge infographic. It shows, you know, average broadband download usage and so on.
There's download speeds, and little old New Zealand makes it in at number 45.
Slower than Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, gutted about that.
Third to last.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't need to talk about that, because
it's not a good result, is it? Now, where does my internet come in there? So they are only saying about 7 megs, I guess they're saying, on average, which probably is right.
Yep.
My when I do a speedtest.net test, I tend to get about 11.
Wow.
I'm pretty happy with my internet speed, but I pay through the fucking nose for it.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, eh?
I would love to have some of that, $30 a month, 100 megabit stuff that I think it's the Japanese that get something like that, isn't it? Now, do you want to know what else is really, really visual and also quite hard to talk about?
Hit me.
This is from BuzzFeed.com. This is 60 completely unusable stock photos. This also will be linked in the show notes. I think you probably should have a look there, or just probably Google 60 completely unusable stock photos if you don't want to give me one measly view. It's not like I even have advertising on the site.
I am enjoying these stock photo sites that are coming in, and these posts,
What was the first one?
It's got to be the
woman laughing with salad?
Yeah, woman laughing with salad.
We did speak about that on the show.
Oh, no. Awkward family photos is slightly different.
Mm.
But I do...
Is that where, like, three or four really straight-laced and then one super goth?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or, like, all of them are dressed in the same T-shirt and holding a cat?
Or the entire family are wearing full-body knitted naked suits.
With pubes.
Yeah, with pubes. I love
made
that
by mum, probably.
Of course.
I would like one of those suits, though, for winter. Wouldn't that be great?
Just rock
up
to
work.
I want
one with tits.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how, you know, big? No?
No. I'm not going to express any sort of value judgments. I would just say I will have them the size that I like them.
Fair enough. Nice. Good
and
choice.
Some men like other sizes than what I like.
Yeah.
And women probably generally, insensibly, would prefer no tits.
Yeah.
Because I mean, can you imagine walking around with big breasts?
No, thanks.
I'm not a woman. I've never experienced, you know, walking around with, you know, D, E, F, G cup breasts. And but I can only imagine that it's pretty bad for your back and pretty tiring. And the attention that you'd, you know, the unwanted attention you'd get from, you know, the less couth, less self-controlled members of the male population.
No, thanks.
Not pleasant. Anyway, the completely unusable stock photos includes pictures of things like, you know, a grandfather in a wheelchair trying to protect a soccer goal from a young blonde girl who's sprinting in to kick it at a full speed. I mean, what are you going to use that stock photo for?
God only knows.
Or two elderly, I'm going to call them a husband and wife. They look like grandparents with a large hair on a card table. In front of the grandfather, holding parts of a shotgun and laughing and looking like they're maybe having a bit of a sword fight.
It's ridiculous. The thing that freaks me out is that these get commissioned. Someone's like, I have this concept and we need to get this shit on film before I lose it.
Someone had to go and get these props. Someone had to dress these old people and drag them out of whatever home they're slowly dying in.
They clearly don't vet what ends up in these stock sites.
No. There's another one of a very snappily dressed, very serious looking man wearing a sash, a red sash with gold lettering on it that says Princess.
Beautiful.
A young man having a deep whiff of a cactus. a bearded bald guy lying in bed, sleeping with his head in a cake.
Who needs a reading when you've got this, dude?
Oh, we'll have a reading as well. A Hitler wearing a red gingham dress with a lap full of potatoes, peeling one into a bowl.
The thing that freaks me out about that particular photo, it's in full color, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what freaks me out.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know it was actually taken by a German because no one else has the technology for color photography.
Exactly. I think that was taken like last week.
Yeah.
No, sir.
No.
Yeah.
That was taken in Brazil in 1948.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't think Hitler probably looked that young or that virile in 1948. No. He was a very unwell man. I'm not just talking intellectually. I believe he was mad. But I think he actually also had some kind of degenerative disease. Like, so he had shaky hands and stuff, and maybe he had numbness. I can't remember what he had. Maybe he had MS or something. He almost certainly had Asperger's and ADD the number of experts on the internet who I think they've said that pretty much everyone in history had one or both of those.
Yep.
So, I mean, people wouldn't be making these if they weren't making money out of them.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, the stock companies don't pay for these photos. They only fork out cash once they're sold.
Right.
More often than not, I would imagine. Although, having said that, you're never going to find this shit on Getty's. It's going to be like some random fly-by-night stock site.
I'm sorry, I'm so distracted by some of these incredible pictures.
I knew the internet
was fucked up. Has this been
used
on an annual report?
Yeah. Well,
is this, you know, the image that you really needed just to finish off that letter to your
It punctuates
your
it perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, if you're using some of these stock photos in anything, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're not.
Although this woman with the sausage necklace, I would use that for something.
Well, that's clearly not just your regular run-of-the-mill stock. That's
awesome.
That's a statement. It's an artistic statement.
Are they saying she's a piece of meat? Are they saying we are what we eat? Are they saying that what you eat says something about you, about who you are? All right, let's go on to something that's not visual. I had a Monster earlier, a Monster energy drink.
Really?
Man, yeah, so
you? Monster?
Yeah, me.
No.
I know, it's hard to believe. It made me completely insane. So I'm not sure if I'm speaking now or if I'm just sitting here staring at my screen and thinking the words, but whichever way it is.
There's been 3 hours of dead air. I didn't want to say anything. I thought you were.
That would be the best episode.
Yeah, the final episode.
Listeners, I suggest that you take 60 seconds out of your hectic day now and just do absolutely nothing. Close your eyes, put your hands on your thighs, and just do nothing. And then we can talk about the house that looks like Hitler.
What other town would have a house that looks like Hitler?
Than Swansea.
Yeah. It just seems like that's all they have going for it, really. Although I've never been to Swansea, and you're going to get some hate mail. Well, I'll get some hate mail from all the Welsh.
So the owner of this house, Clive Davies, age 60, is he actually a neo-Nazi? There's no picture of him. I bet he's got a shaved head. And he says, I've never noticed any similarity before, and most people who pass by are so close they probably never notice. I don't really think it looks like Hitler.
You do have to stand back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's living in Hitler's face. I do quite like inanimate things that, you know, take on a visual personality.
Yeah.
Like the Hitler house.
And yeah, like Jesus, grilled cheese.
That's right. Yeah, grilled cheeses.
Grilled Jesus. What's the next story? This one is, I'm going to quote from the Herald, but also from Tumeke. This is about the Urrawerra trial. What are they called? Man. The something 18? The Urrawerra 18, I'm sure, is what they're called.
Yeah.
These are the guides, the Tuhoe mainly people who were arrested as terrorists by the police a couple of years ago. How long ago was it? Was it 2007?
God, really?
It was a while ago, and it's still dragging on. I mean, they're not even in, I don't know if they're even really before the courts yet. But from the Herald, this is a quote from the Herald, the 18 people arrested during the Urrawerra, quote, terror raids, have been denied a trial by jury. Instead, their cases will be heard by a lone judge. In December, the High Court ruled the case should be heard only by a judge, despite objections by the defence for the 18 accused. The Court of Appeal yesterday announced it would uphold the High Court ruling. Suppression orders prevent the publication of the reasons behind both courts' decisions. So these guys don't get a jury.
Yeah, that's
they don't get a trial by their peers.
Yeah,
they get one. I was going to say one dude, but I mean it could be a woman. They get one judge.
Yeah,
doesn't really seem. And is that really the way it's meant to work?
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
it doesn't. I mean, the courts seem to think so, but I mean, so why is this? Now, what Bomber says, now, while I have little time for activists or activist gangsters who pick up guns, and accept that if it had been in the National Front who had been running around playing militia, then I would want an eye cast over their activities as well. The overreaction in a land steeped in as much righteous historic injustice as Tuhoe land, however, in an almost identical incident to the original land confiscation, was ignorant and offensive of the police. Tama Iti and his merry militia are no more terrorists than I am. Except they go camping. They should never have been apprehended in this manner with these powers. If the concern was so great, the police should have gone directly to Tama Iti to discuss the issue with him. The fact was that the local police would go to Tama Iti as an outreach person they could use to talk down any hot-headedness by any of the locals. And I believe that's probably true. Tama Iti is not a madman.
No.
He is frustrated. And as mentioned there Bomber's quote, their land was stolen from them. Tuhoe land wasn't purchased. It was confiscated by the crown. It was confiscated by, you know, the people with more guns. Yeah. That's not actually just.
No, sir.
So, I mean, so it's fair for him to be like, you know, actually, my people have been mistreated for over a century, and you're trying to use our stolen land. I mean, politically, what do you do at that point? What they haven't done is blow shit up. What they haven't done is start killing people. They've done nothing of the sort. And in some places in the world, that would be considered extremely restrained of them.
Terror. I mean, come on, guys.
That could almost be expected. In some places in the world, it definitely would have happened. But it hasn't happened.
No.
It hasn't happened. They've done political activism. And so for the police to have freaked out in this situation, because why? I think we'll probably find out once this actually finds its way before a judge. But it seems like the courts are suppressing a lot of information here. Why is that? It might be for a very good reason. It might turn out that some of these motherfuckers actually were planning, you know, terrorist-style attacks. But I find it very hard to believe because it is not in their interest to alienate the population. The population is not against Māori. The population is Māori.
That's right.
I mean, 25% of us are Māori.
Yep.
Self-identify as. You know, the Māori culture hasn't been as strong as it is now for a century. It's enjoying a resurgence. There is no reason, political or otherwise, for them to get violent now. Their methods have worked. The political approach has worked. Political activism has worked. Getting in the media has worked. So there was no reason for them to do anything. And they didn't do anything, from what I can see. But I guess we'll find out. We'll get more information, I suppose, as this goes through the courts. But the thing is that this is just 18, this is just 18 dudes. They're having to fight a legal case against the government, which has, you know, comparatively unlimited funding,
yep,
versus these 18 people who certainly do not have unlimited funding. Hopefully they are getting some form of legal aid. I'm sure they are. But I'm sure that they also aren't provided with the same resources by that legal aid that the government lawyers are provided with pay packets.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is outrageous. And that they don't get to state their case before a jury of their peers. When they want to, I think it should be a person's right to choose.
I agree.
They want a jury of their peers. They should get that. Because I was under the impression that was the way it was meant to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the justice system.
I mean, I thought that you had a right. I thought that you had a right to be heard by a jury of your peers, not by a single state-appointed man when the case is from the state against you. It doesn't seem appropriate. I mean, I thought that the point of a jury of your peers was that it's not a state-appointed person.
No, that's right.
I mean, I'm not saying that the courts only ever agree with the government. Clearly, that's not the case. But something stinks here. Yeah, something stinks really bad here.
Seems like it.
There's a documentary coming up very soon about this. I saw it on Flix called Operation 8. Fascinating comments on Flix for this. It hasn't been released, of course, and we get comments. The first comments on it are things like, lot of biased crap.
Oh, brilliant.
Or, here's another one, if they weren't doing illegal stuff, then they wouldn't have been arrested. They were terrorists outside the law and deserved what they got.
Great.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah.
So have you seen this? No.
Dude, this is the internet. You know that there are pack of douches.
We've got a comment. They ate the real inhabitants of New Zealand and now they cry when they get their asses kicked by the white man.
Oh, Jesus.
Boo-hoo, harden up.
What the fuck?
Finally, we get a comment, very revealing, I think, and probably accurate. I'm looking forward to seeing this. Interesting commentary so far. As it hasn't screened yet, I presume they are police officers commenting.
Ooh.
And I think that's probably right.
Yeah, that is quite pointed.
Who has an interest? Who has the strongest interest in putting the opposing case here?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's the police that got this so badly wrong with roadblocks. I mean, they closed. I mean, they locked down the whole area.
Yeah, man.
They prevented legal travel in and out of, you know, quite a large geographic area.
It was,
the racism that comes out is fascinating. And I think this isn't going to get enough bums on seats, of course. New Zealand movies seldom do. I mean, you look at Boy.
Yeah.
I think we saw it together, actually, Boy.
Yes, we did.
Brilliant movie. It made me just laugh until I almost passed out.
Yeah.
And it made me actually literally cry.
Yeah.
And then it made me laugh until I almost passed out.
Yeah.
Like, in the space of just a couple of minutes. It was so beautifully made. And even that is like 1 week of Avatar in New Zealand or something, right? It's like, and that has sold more tickets than any other New Zealand movie ever.
Yeah, fully.
And it's like, just doesn't even compare. And it's just such a beautiful movie and it's so well made. So unfortunately, probably not very many people are going to get to see this one in cinemas, but maybe it'll be on TV again as well soon.
It is a shame.
This whole thing, man, this whole thing. I don't like seeing New Zealand police being such obvious fascists.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just say, well, if, you know, if you've got nothing to fear, you know, if you didn't do it, you know, the courts will find that. Yeah, okay. But they've been fighting this for years now already. Yeah. Even if they weren't planning anything, and I think probably they weren't planning anything.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, normal political protest. They've been punished.
Yep.
They've been punished for doing nothing, maybe, because the courts are so slow to get through this stuff. It's absolutely outrageous, and the whole thing is disgusting. Is that a heartwarming story?
Are you recording, by the way?
Let's get on to another heartwarming story, shall we? This one's in the US. This is also actually about due process and the law and the courts and judges and so on. There's a federal judge in the US named Beryl Howell. She's ruled on 3 mass file sharing lawsuits.
Oh, my God.
She's the only judge, as far as I know, that has given these cases, these defective cases, they've been described as defective by other courts and thrown out and severed and sometimes thrown out with prejudice. She's the only one that's given a case a green light. Guess what her job was before she was made a federal judge? She was an RIAA lobbyist.
God, this fucks me off, man.
She was a lawyer for the people whose cases she is now judging.
Yeah. Yeah. Go America.
What the shit is going on here?
Federal judge.
How does this happen? This is such an obvious conflict of interest. How can she be sitting on these cases?
Can't these people see that this is a war that they've lost and there's absolutely no way they're going to win this?
They're not going to win it this way. The way they win is by providing their material where people want it.
Exactly.
For a reasonable price.
Totally.
And with a high quality service. If you look back to, you know, the year 2000, they were like, there's no way to compete with free. There's nothing we can do to compete with these pirates aside from destroy them.
Yeah, right.
iTunes, assholes.
Exactly.
It's like is it bigger than Walmart now in the States for selling music? I think it may have overtaken Walmart. And Walmart, for a very long time, like the Warehouse in New Zealand, I think,
was the
largest music retailer.
Yep.
And then iTunes, on the internet, people were actually paying for media because it's convenient.
Absolutely. Someone on Twitter today
And the price isn't outrageous.
No, you're not having to buy a CD because... Yep. Like who?
You don't need to go anywhere. Yeah,
you just sit there. You click a button. It comes home. And
people do crazy binge purchases.
Totally, man. Yeah. Totally. And it's it's good quality. It's a strange thing. They just move on, guys. It's like spend all the money.
You can compete.
Yeah,
you can compete. Lawsuits are not a business model.
No, right? Sadly not.
It's not going to work for you in the long term. Now, the trouble is that probably, a lot of the people that run some of these music industry companies, the music distributor companies and the film and TV distributor companies, they probably have backgrounds in being lawyers and so on and accountants.
Yeah, that's true.
So they see the very short-term stuff and they do the authoritarian, tightly closed fist thing. But the thing is, you can't hold much sand in a tightly closed fist.
Hell no.
There's no room for anything in there.
No.
So just relax. And Jesus Christ. Fucking Christ, you can't make an RIAA lobbyist a federal judge who sits judging RIAA cases.
How did this even happen? I mean, do these people not check resumes?
That's an interesting question. I mean, they must check resumes, but they just didn't care.
I guess not. I mean,
perhaps she was a really good lawyer and she's going to be a good judge, but she shouldn't be ruling on these cases.
No, absolutely not.
She should have recused herself. Let's get off these complete bummer stories about, governments and police and courts being a bunch of assholes, and get onto something a little more fun.
You're listening to Discourse.
Samsung Keylogger. Did you hear about this? This was a laptop. Some chap.
This is brilliant.
I don't know his name. Was he a security researcher or was he just a punter? I don't know. But he discovered a keylogger on his newly purchased Samsung laptop, except he fucking well didn't, did he?
Yeah, that's right.
Facebook went mad. All the little nerds went crazy. Apple weenuses went mental, started masturbating into their own mouths with joy, with glee about Samsung installing a keylogger. I mean, after Sony did their rootkit a few years ago.
Oh, man.
So it's not completely outside the realm of possibility that this could happen.
I guess that's why it picked up so much traction so quickly.
That's right. But it didn't happen. It was, there was a folder called KL. I think it was called KL. It was a language pack folder.
Yep.
It didn't contain any keylogger. It was just a really simple pattern match on the name of the folder, decided it had a keylogger in it. And this guy went crazy. And the internet, no fact checking involved, went completely mental.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, there was fact-checking, but that came, hours later.
Way later.
So it was totally in kind of the next tweet cycle.
Yeah.
Right? So the damage maybe was done.
Well,
I didn't see many apologies.
No, there's none. But the interesting thing here is no matter where the news comes from, there's always sensationalism.
Yeah.
Whether it's Twitter or the main media outlets, people are going to go mad.
Yeah.
And then check some facts and find out that it was actually just a part of
Windows. Human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The drama is often, it's so much more exciting than, the reality.
Hell,
when you actually look into things and discover, there is no magic in the world. And there are tend to be not very many conspiracies in the world.
Well, maybe
just incompetence or mistakes.
Well, maybe this was just, Samsung doing their whole, part of their media thing for the year.
Yeah.
Because seriously, I mean, who buys Samsung?
Are you kidding? Is that a joke?
I don't know. I buy Apple, dude.
You know Samsung are the largest handset manufacturer in the world?
Yeah, but I'm not. This is not about a. This is a laptop, right?
Yeah, but these are Samsung monitors.
Fair enough. But are they?
Samsung are one of the biggest hardware manufacturers in the world.
Okay. Okay.
They're not small potatoes.
No. Of course not. I'm not saying they are. But
I don't know where they stand in the hardware manufacture.
Well, I'm just thinking like laptops. When I think laptops that aren't Apple laptops, I think Dell.
Yeah.
So perhaps, you know, because this was a there you go. Allegedly shipping laptops that are containing a pre-installed keylogger. So perhaps they're like, you know, trying to up their game in the laptop market, get a bit of a bright light shone in their direction.
I'm just trying to find some results here for market share for laptops. There are a lot of articles on this. Tablet and smartphone users. This is not probably a useful graph. Let's see what it has to say. Oh, this isn't manufacturers. 0.3% of the world's population has a tablet now. That's
wow,
friggin' heaps.
Dude.
I wonder how many of them are old Windows tablets. Because Windows were trying that stuff for a long time and failing for a long time.
They had that the like laptop tablet.
Yeah, the convertibles and stuff.
Yeah, you'd flip it around.
Yeah,
and fold
the operating system was never right for it.
Nah.
Yeah, it never really worked. Apple definitely were the first people to get that right.
Yeah, man. Well, that's all it takes is one company to bust that shit wide open and then, you know, everyone else is in there.
Sorry, I'm still trying to find this. Let's see what the Wikipedia list of laptop manufacturers has to say.
Man, all of this stuff is so outdated.
Yeah. It's mad. That's why I'm trying to find 2010, 2011.
Sometimes Google just does not work.
No, it's not working at all for this, is it? So it looks like Samsung actually only entered the US notebook market in the end of 2008. So there's not much surprise that they weren't really there in a comparison of 2008 and 2009.
Right.
So, geez, who knows? They're not really, it doesn't look like they were historically very big in laptops. I know that they're doing quite a lot in like small, thin laptops.
Yeah.
And of course, they're doing tablets.
Yeah.
I think where they're really big actually is TVs.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
But I'm not having any friggin' joy finding
market share laptops.
No.
Yep.
No. None. Nothing really recent anyway. I mean, of course, I could find some stuff, but it tended to be old or not quite the right comparison. Actually, I noticed something interesting the other day. Samsung have released, I tweeted about this, they've released, you know, another MacBook Air competitor. Mm. It costs more than the Air.
Why would you bother?
I wouldn't.
What the fuck?
What the fuck exactly? It has a slightly faster processor, but it had like smaller flash.
It probably looks like shit though, right?
I don't know. It's very hard to judge these things until you see them in person.
That is true.
You know, laptop photography can be very misleading.
Yeah.
The thing about the Air though is that it is exactly what it seems like.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, you can go and see one in, you know, stores all over, you know, wherever you live, you can probably go and see one in a department store nearby. And they are lovely little things. I don't like the sharpness of the edges.
No. Well, that's been plaguing them for a while, actually. The unibody, it's very very sharp in the old
wristicles. It's not very human, eh?
No.
I imagine it's not very thick aluminium. So, I mean, I would probably emery board it or something.
Yeah.
Just to smooth it a little bit, bevel it a little bit. But, I mean, when it comes to laptops that I would probably consider buying, I'm not really a laptop-y person.
Yeah.
The Air is way up the list and nothing else is anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Now, would I buy a laptop for $2,400 that I probably couldn't edit video on and that has a tiny screen and so on? Probably not, which is why, you know, it's probably not really for me.
No.
That's why I'm not really a laptop-y person, because the screens are too small. They don't really do what I want.
Me, I'm completely the opposite. Like, well, I'll probably take an iMac. I have one at work.
You've got a big one, right?
I've got a 27-inch iMac at work, which is...
Right. They're lovely. Those screens are so nice. Beautiful, beautiful thing.
And it fucking kicks ass speed-wise, man. Mm-hmm. So I'd have one of those things.
Yeah.
But I have a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And that works for me fine. I like the form factor. I plug it into a giant monitor at home and I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
It's the fastest machine I've ever owned.
Right.
And once I get an SSD in there, it's going to be even faster again. SSD
is big. SSD, I think people who don't understand the difference that SSD makes, because starting an app is, I mean, SSD is so much faster than any spinning hard drive.
Well, I've heard so many people say, don't bother upgrading your machine. Yeah. Just get an SSD.
Yeah.
It's cheaper and you will get a better result from it.
Yeah, for $500, you can get a like a 160 gig one, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you get bigger than that for $500-ish? But it's very, very fast.
Totally, man.
Like multiple times faster than a spinning platter hard drive. And quiet.
Yeah, man.
I mean, a little laptop hard drives are not, you know, they're not really loud things, but, you know, every little noise is annoying, really. Like when this RAID spun up here, it's five fucking drives in there.
Yeah.
Five 7200 RPM drives in there and a cooling fan.
Yeah, yeah. It's not quiet, that's not quiet for sure.
It's not quiet. I'm surprised it's actually not more audible on the podcast, given that my microphone is right next to it. It's a bit inappropriate design, really. Anyway, this laptop thing, the Samsung thing, the keylogger story, complete bullshit. There is no keylogger on your Samsung laptop that you don't have.
So there's some company called GFI Labs ran this security test on it.
Yeah.
And they've got software called Viper.
Yeah.
And that detected C:/Windows/SL, which is a language file, and that triggered...
Oh, like Slovakia.
Exactly.
Slovakian or something.
That's right. Slovakian, yeah. And it detected a malware alert.
Right.
And immediately they figured that was the keylogger. It was a false positive.
And they didn't bother checking.
Well,
they just published. They published.
And then,
and now, honestly, dickheads.
Yeah. Well, their quote is, "We have no one to blame but ourselves."
You're bloody right, and I blame you as well, Dick. And Samsung probably should sue you,
Munters.
And I think they'd probably be right to sue you. And I think that you would be put out of business by it, because if you're going to say something like that, you've got to be right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that makes. I mean, that could have meant millions of dollars in sales lost.
Oh, hell yeah.
To Samsung. I mean, if you're just tossing up the idea of getting a laptop, you don't know which one you get, you think maybe you'll get a Samsung or maybe you'll get this other one.
Yeah.
You hear that maybe there's malware on a Samsung? You're not buying a Samsung.
Hells no.
And that could be tens of millions of dollars lost in sales just because these guys didn't check their facts before publishing.
Yeah.
Idiots. You've got to check your facts. Anyway, I mentioned that Samsung are the largest handset manufacturer. There was a study. This was based on a study. It was a ComScore study of 30,000 US mobile subscribers, and Samsung have 24.8% market share.
Wow!
Yeah, they are a big player.
Yeah, man.
It's actually interesting to see that compared with the stats coming out from Android lately on Slashdot. We see that there are just under 70 million people in the US who own smartphones in the 3 months ending February 2011, which was up 13% from the preceding three-month period, which is 7 million people difference.
Yeah.
That's pretty big growth.
Totally.
I mean, what's the US population? 300 million or something? Actually, I probably shouldn't guess. I should probably look that up before I guess. Now, in the last quarter of last year, Android finally overtook Apple, but now they've also overtaken BlackBerry, who were the big player. Now Android are the absolute undisputed top player in the market, but not in the app stores, not in sold apps, where Apple are 10 times ahead of them. So far ahead of them, it's not even funny.
My jury is still out on the old Android.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone at work has Android,
mm-hmm.
and they swear by it.
But you're an Apple guy.
I am.
Why would you actually consider it? If it worked right for you, you'd do it?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I just like to be not annoyed by the things that I use every single day.
Yeah.
And my Apple devices never, ever, ever annoy me.
Yeah. They always annoy me. I don't like the interface.
Right.
Oh, the iPhone I like. The OS X I don't like.
Right.
And of course, I've had much more exposure to OS X than to the iPhone. I'm using an Android. I've been using an Android since I stole it out of the giveaway box.
Oh, yeah? How are you finding it?
A month or so ago. I really like it.
The camera's a piece of shit, though. Before that.
I had another Android before I had this one.
Huh.
Before that, I had like a four-year-old Sony Ericsson, quote, feature phone.
Right.
Yeah, Why is it called feature phone?
Well, it has features.
Does it?
Well, yeah.
You can push buttons and it will make calls. Very quick to do the few things it could do.
Yeah, well, that's
if you want to send a text, it's very quick to get to the menu. If you want to make a call, it's very quick to make a call. but it didn't really do other things very well.
Well, if
so
you,
it had,
if you compare that phone to, you know, the phone that my mum has, it's clearly a feature phone.
Yep.
All my mum's phone can do is send texts and make and receive calls.
Right, which bloody, I bet it's really good at doing those things.
Absolutely. But
I bet it doesn't have problems getting a signal very often.
No, but when it comes to features, it doesn't really have it.
Oh, I'll tell you something that this does annoy me with. The camera I mentioned is very, very slow. It takes a long time to focus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's nice having 720p video, but I just don't really rate the video.
Fair enough.
I mean, when you're used to DSLR video.
Yeah, true.
What really compares?
What is the handset?
Oh, it's a Huawei X5. I'll throw it to you.
No, don't throw it to me. Don't do that. I don't want to be responsible for that.
What annoys me is battery life.
Aye.
But I think that's because I leave the Wi-Fi on and the 3G on.
Well, no, you see, I don't know. Maybe
I've started turning that off the last couple of days, and actually suddenly the battery life is fine. I think that actually...
Like when you say it annoys, like how long are you getting out of it?
A day.
Right. Now, I may be wrong. I don't really know because I'm one of those strange people who plugs their phone in all the fucking time.
Right.
Like I go to bed and I've got a jack next to the bed and I plug it in. I get to work, I plug it in. The only time it isn't plugged in is when I'm mobile.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guys who complain about battery life, plug your fucking phone in, man.
Yeah. Well, seriously. The thing is though, with my feature phone, I mean, I only need to charge that every week and a half.
Fair enough. But I mean,
right. It was not a consideration.
Yeah, true. That is fair enough.
So, you know, 3 hours on the charger maybe every week.
Okay.
Because the battery life did reduce to maybe a week.
Yeah. Fine, right? Fine. I'll give you that.
The standby is long. Yeah. It's long. And that wasn't a particularly long-lived phone.
Yeah.
That's not what it was. I mean, I bought that phone because it had a relatively good... camera. Now, by comparison with the modern, I mean, it was a four-year-old phone.
By comparison
with the modern phones with good cameras, doesn't compare.
Things have changed quite swiftly and sadly.
And it's thanks to Apple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's so many advances in all the other things. Power is where we're falling short.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know this is just pipe dreams, but wireless electricity, man.
Yeah.
That's the shit.
Yeah. Right, well, Tesla is alleged to have sorted it out.
Uh-huh.
A century ago, right? With the big towers.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Now, the Tunguska disaster was blamed, I think, on his wireless stuff, but reworked into sort of a death ray.
Right.
Tunguska, of course, is in, I guess, Siberia or somewhere? Way over in the east of Russia.
Yeah.
Out in the snowy, icy hinterland, and there was a massive explosion there, which was almost certainly a meteorite.
Not a death ray?
Not a death ray.
You sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And probably Tesla wasn't really working on wireless power. No, or if he was having as much luck as anyone does now.
Yeah,
because, probably. You know, there's nothing magical about Tesla's brain. I mean, he was an innovator. Probably there was something magical about his brain. But physics wasn't different when he was alive than it is now.
No, that's right. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
I mean, all of the resources of AT&T's, you know, Bell Labs and so on, if they can't make it work, he certainly wasn't making it work.
Actually, I had this, you know, those recharge pads that you can get and you just put your shit down and it recharges.
Yeah.
Like without plugs.
Yeah.
So.
Induction.
An entire coffee table.
Yeah.
Or.
I've seen something like that.
Or an office desk.
Yeah.
You know, you just put your laptop down, your phone.
The only thing you've got to be careful of is if you put, if you've got like a ring on.
Ah. Okay,
because any coil, because it's a big like a electromagnetic field,
right?
It's induction. It's the way Oral-B charges work. It's the way some electric cars charge. There's no metal contacts. It's just fields and fields.
Mm.
And I imagine. No, I don't know if this is true. This is just, you know, I imagine that a ring probably in that field could heat up a bit as well.
Yeah, it could cause some issues.
But it might be you know, like a 5-volt.
Man, I have to say that all of this shit is still magic to me.
Yeah,
I'm a very, very simple guy, and like without plugs and like metal to metal.
Yeah,
it's magic.
Yeah,
you know? It's like when I was a kid and I heard about fax machines.
Yeah.
That blew my simple
mind. And one day there will be color fax machines.
Yeah, I know, right?
And there were color fax machines.
And now we've got the fucking internet, dude.
Yeah. And there were fax machines like amazingly long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
In very few hands. Like amazingly long time ago. Like the 1930s.
Yeah.
There were fax machines. It's totally. Like, fucking what? How is that possible? How would you image it without a CCD? There's no way you could do it. Because like we assume that all of our modern technology is like the way to do things.
Yeah.
You look at like old digital cameras and stuff. Like you see them from the early 80s. Yeah, like man. Writing to a tape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was.
And it's like, what are you doing? How will you do it? How do you do that?
It's mad.
How do you do that? Very low resolution. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
What's the next story? I don't have any more stories. I've done enough stories.
Yeah.
Have you got any stories?
No, nothing uplifting.
Don't talk to strangers.
Well, okay. So you've heard of Instapaper, right?
Yeah, we spoke about Instapaper and how I am okay. A little bit annoyed that Marco won't release an official Android app because I'd like to buy one.
Right.
And so because he won't release an official app, his graphs only show iOS devices.
Right. Yeah. I do recall that. I remember reading his thing about it. But anyway, that's a tangent to what I'm getting at.
Yep.
I'm a convert to Instapaper.
Yep.
And
it's great.
There are a bunch of these websites that now curate these long posts that you can just like instantly Instapaper.
Yep.
And one of them was this post about this dude called Dean Coral. I don't really know how to say it.
Dean Coral.
Yeah. Corll. And
Coral.
And he basically.
Buy a vowel, motherfucker.
I know, right? Come on. And this was the 70s. Anyway, he was a serial killer from Texas.
That's a great place to be from if you're going to be a serial killer, I imagine. Yeah.
And this was way before even the phrase serial killer existed.
Right.
Back then, they were just known as mass murderers. And right. At the time...
See, I think of a mass murderer as someone who, like Columbine, like someone who goes and kills a lot of people all at once.
Right, yeah. Well, they didn't know what to call them.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that guy who coined serial killer, but genius.
Yeah.
But anyway, this dude, not only did he own... a candy factory.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He was a candy man.
And, well, let me just back up a little. He used to capture young men, fuck them, torture them, and kill them.
Right. Oh, you had me up to kill.
So.
And actually capture.
Pedophile.
And torture.
Who owned a candy factory.
Yeah.
Just when you think.
So when you say young men, you mean boys?
Teenagers.
Oh, that's not a pedophile.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Not pedophile, but still.
I've heard of a term.
A total fucking deviant.
I've heard of a term called ephebophile, which is people that are like, they are pubescent, but they're not. I think that for someone to be a pedophile, they need to be attracted to prepubescent.
Right, okay.
Whereas like a ephebophile is someone who is clearly too young and illegally too young and immorally too young. But as probably post-pubescent.
Okay. Right. Yeah, well, that was this dude.
Right.
Because, like, he wasn't just capturing, like, men off the street.
Yeah.
They were young men.
Yeah.
But anyway, he owned a candy factory, and he used to persuade these young men to come and work at his candy factory or, like, have a tour of the candy factory. Yeah. And it gets better or worse, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah.
He had a white van that he had pimped out. There were, like, sofas... And like he would play music in the van, and this is how.
Is there something about a white van? I always thought that the serial killers were drove V dubs or something.
But it's like, you know, the pedo van. You always hear the
like a panel van with painting
exactly,
on the outside.
You know, no windows.
Yeah. And the rape wagon.
Exactly.
The shaggin' wagon.
That's the one. I mean, and I guess this is where I may be completely wrong here. I haven't seen it written down, but I was just putting two and two together. Is you know.
Did he invent that?
Yeah, like the pedo van and don't take candy from strangers. Mental. But anyway,
Know when that don't take candy from strangers thing started.
It's very, very good sense. I mean, do not accept candy from strangers.
No, ever. Not even at Halloween.
No, God.
Which,
no.
By the way, is not a New Zealand festival. Fucking quit it. Seriously, quit it.
Yeah.
Totally. Maybe we could have dress ups and bags of lollies. And we don't say candy in New Zealand either. We say lollies or sweets.
That's right.
I don't know what you say in South Africa.
We say sweets.
Right. Well, sweets. Perfect.
Yeah.
And, we're a match made in heaven.
South Africa, Halloween was never a thing.
Right.
I moved to England for a short period. There were never any like trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
But I lived in a flat and we used to have a Halloween party because, you know.
You like to play dress up?
Yeah. And who doesn't like a party? Yep. Seriously.
Yeah.
So I have nothing against a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandra and I used to have a Halloween party every year. We've kind of stopped doing that a little bit. But, you know, that's all good. But trick-or-treating, we go out.
Yeah.
Or we pretend to have gone out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give.
Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not.
And there's never a trick. There's never a trick.
No. No. Or maybe.
I suggest that we play dress ups and we do the thing with lollies and bags and going door to door on Anzac Day.
Okay.
Because, but the rule is, the kids have to have gotten up for the dawn service. Right? And this means very few of them will be out at night because that is early.
That is early, yeah.
And actually, right, I mean, I don't know, going door to door, I feel like it could inspire a sense of community. You know, if you actually talk to your neighbors, if you actually travel around and, you know, get out of your house and out onto the street, because I'm not going to try and speak for everyone in New Zealand, but I feel like a lot of our communities are dead. I feel like a lot of our communities are isolated houses and not really communities.
Yep.
And so instead we've had to build communities of our own.
That's true, man.
Which are nothing to do with our suburbs.
I'd agree with you on that. I mean,
we belong to the same community, you and I, Darren,
yeah,
don't we?
That's right, yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with where we live.
No, certainly not. But maybe that's just, you know, the way things are going.
Yeah.
You don't need to know your neighbours.
But what about when there's a disaster?
Well,
you get to know them really fast.
Well, some advice that my very, very wise parents told me is get to know your neighbours. Because, you know, when your house...
They can watch your house.
Exactly.
If there's a fire, they might just give a little bit more of a shit.
That's right, man.
Or if they see someone climbing in and it's definitely not you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it pays to know your neighbors. It's advice that I don't take.
I was about to ask, do you know your neighbors?
I know one of my neighbors. Hey, baby. Oh, she probably hasn't listened to the show.
Oh, right.
She doesn't always listen. She's so busy.
Yeah.
Not me.
No. Well,
I don't talk to my neighbors. I hear my neighbors sometimes, speaking in their hubba lubba language to their kids.
We live on a...
raising their kids to not speak English as their first language in New Zealand.
Kids?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd say hubba lubba. It's Spanish.
Dude.
But the father's I don't know if he's still there. I haven't seen him for a while. I used to see him quite a lot outside smoking, looking really fucking drawn.
Oh, like, weird.
My life, kill me. But he's Pākehā, dude, and she is like from Central America or somewhere. She looks like that anyway.
Right, okay.
And she never speaks English.
Yeah. The only reason I know my neighbors is because we have a cross lease and we share the same driveway.
Right.
You know, they're nice enough. We've got some students. Being Kingsland, there's an awful lot of those fuckers, and they are not quiet.
Yeah.
There's some folks across the road who they sit on their balcony facing the street and get munted.
Right.
Every night.
Right. With a case of really cheap beer.
Yeah. And loud shit music, man.
Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah. I'm
waiting for them to get on my lawn because then I'm going to fucking tell them.
Kids.
Exactly.
Get off. Get off of my lawn. Things about to get very grown up out here.
Who'd have thought, man?
I've lived in Kingsland a couple of times. I have never had trouble with my neighbors ever.
I mean, I wouldn't say trouble. It's just, you know,
they're a little bit
rowdy.
Right.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, I haven't had to tell them off. I've had to tell off my one neighbor because, well, they were like overtly rowdy.
Yeah.
And I'd had a couple of beers and I was like, right, motherfucker, get off my lawn. No, really, get the fuck off my lawn.
Yeah.
I came inside and I lolled. It's good times.
You've got to be careful with, I mean, you don't want to be offside with your neighbors.
Well, yeah,
because, you know, just little things can be very annoying and it's very easy to do little things.
Totally.
Flick your cigarettes over the fence.
Yeah.
If you're a smoker.
Yeah. I go the passive aggressive route when I see.
Did you write little notes for them and stick them on their front door?
No, like so the
stick them inside
neighbor's got
their fridge,
a young,
that'd terrify them.
Young son. I guess young, he's not young, he's a teenager and he has a lot of parties and they buy cheap beer, so there's often several like flame beer bottles on my lawn.
Yeah.
And I just pile them up neatly in front of their gate.
Yeah.
So I guess that's like, you know, passive aggressive with a couple of bangs on the end.
Yeah.
Good times.
I quite like that. There's a a common trait in New Zealand, which is, you know, basically taking it and moaning later.
Yeah.
And doing nothing.
Exactly.
Like in restaurants and so on.
Totally.
It's very dangerous to do anything about dodgy service in a restaurant, though.
That's right. Yeah.
Clean food only, please. What's the next story?
Well,
no more stories. How about a word of the week?
Okay.
It's just you and me, brother.
All right.
Have you ever listened to the show?
Yes. And I have to say, I never, ever, ever know what the word of the week is.
Really?
Yeah.
Go get this one.
Okay, hit me.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Hit me. This is a very popular word. It's had over 10,000 upvotes and about 1,000 downvotes. It was the word of the day on February 6th this year. So this is a very new word compared to most that I use. The word, or the phrase, Darren, is strategic dipping.
Ooh.
You're going to get it.
Oh, man. Strategic dipping. Good Lord. Okay.
You're going to get it. You're going to be so happy. This is going to be the first word you've ever gotten, and you're going to get it on the show. And that will put you in a very small group of people.
Hi, I'd like to introduce you to my little friend called Pressure.
Pressure.
Strategic dipping. Well, the only thing I can think about really is it's a little bit stale though. I was thinking like the mad cow thing, but that's maybe it's reference to that. I don't know. Strategic, I'm way off. Yeah, way off. I'm going to have to pass, man.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I know it's the last show and you had pinned all your hopes on me getting strategic dipping. Or it could be like, you know, skinny dipping with a bird that you want to nail.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
I've done that.
Did it work?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And I realized quite quickly that she was gross. She had dreadlocks.
Oh.
Mm.
You mean hot. Right. Okay.
Oh, no. on her head.
Uh-huh.
Super hot and really quite fun. I mean, we went skinny dipping. Obviously fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually try. I didn't really try.
Right.
But, you know, I did something that I often do, which is just kind of make it clear that I'm making myself available.
Okay.
Which is not making a move.
No.
But it's just like saying, you know, actually saying nothing. I said nothing.
Yeah.
I just took off my clothes and said, here's my cock.
Fair enough.
And those are your tits. Let's go for a swim. In Lake Pupuki.
Wow.
Yeah, off the wharf there, the little jetty.
Cool.
Yeah, skinny dipping Lake Pupuki.
Wow.
Fuck, it was nice. Because jumping off that little wharf is really satisfying.
Huh.
It's beautiful. On a really hot summer night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yep. Bare ass naked. Strategic dipping, not double dipping. When a chip or other dippable food is dipped, bitten, and then turned over so that the tainted, bitten, and saliva-covered part isn't able to corrupt the dip.
My God, I totally should have, because like I do that.
Yep, and I do that as well. But have you ever watched MythBusters?
I have on occasion. Yeah,
they've got an episode where they kind of test all the double dipping stuff,
right?
And they tested like salsa and a sour cream based dip for bacteria counts,
yeah.
And the bacteria counts were off the fucking chart for the sour creamy one. For some reason, I think that the salsa one might have had a lower. I think that the acid content kept that one quite clean.
Totally.
And then they tested it by dipping like virginal chips and it made no difference. And then they tested it by like cramming their mouths full of salsa and then literally like spitting it back in. So like the maximum saliva you could possibly get in. It made basically no difference to the bacterial counts. It's no difference at all.
It's just an ew factor, basically.
It's an ew factor, but.
So what, man?
I don't know about you. I've kissed some people.
Exactly.
I've kissed you.
Yeah, that's right.
I do know about you.
Yeah.
We've kissed.
We have. We've probably double dipped
Which
as well.
Means I'm sure we've double dipped.
Yeah.
And that's not innuendo.
No.
Innuendo.
You.
Oh.
Can we pause this?
And we're back, and we've definitely done nothing inappropriate. How's your wife?
Good.
What were we saying?
Something
about dipping, double dipping. Basically, it doesn't really make any difference. But I hate watching people double dip. I think it's rude.
It is rude. And I think strategic dipping could be taken that way unless you, like...
Are overt.
And I'm going to see what I'm doing here. This is called a strategic dip. It's a turn and dip. And
so, I mean, with some kinds of chip, there's at least three or four places to hold it. So you don't even need to put the bit you've touched in.
No.
Like with a corn chip, there's three corners. But, so there's at least two opportunities to dip.
But you know what, man?
Yeah.
I think your mouth is more sanitary than your hands.
Very often, I'm sure that's true.
So I don't know if strategic dipping is that strategic.
My hands are pretty clean though, because I've heard that urine is
it's that thing. It is. I Googled it sterile. The other day. It is sterile. Yeah,
it's sterile. So I piss my hands clean.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the toilet.
A lot of people think that your urine is sterile to yourself, but it's not. All of it is sterile to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you are particularly,
Bear Grylls would be glad to know that.
Particularly sick. The amount of his own piss I've watched him drink, I don't ever need to see that happen again.
Well, what the Wikipedia entry says is that it is sterile unless you have some sort of infection, which is kind of stating the obvious, but you know.
Darrenpedia! Have we just started a new thing?
No, this is Wikipedia, dude.
No, but you are relating the story.
Okay, Darrenpedia. That's it.
Doesn't matter where you got the information from. You've got the information in your head.
Hold on, I'll just check if the domain's available. No.
Damn it. Did you actually check?
No.
Yeah, I got into a bad practice of buying domain names.
I have a couple stashed.
I've got too many domain names.
Yeah.
I've got like 15 domain names.
15?
Yeah, something like that. 12 or 15.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's too many.
Yeah.
Too many. Considering the number of projects I've released, it's I mean, I could use all of them.
Yeah.
I'm about to use now this was dumb. I bought this one for a joke. Glossysexprison.com.
Glossysexprison.
Yeah.
.com. I'm surprised the .com was available. You've done well there.
Thank you.
Must be beating them off. The people who are wanting to
not with
buy.
A stick, just beating them off.
Right.
Yeah, that's the purpose of the site, selling that as a service. Now, what order are we going to do these in? Let's do the anything you want to promote, but first, anything you want to promote? Any cool sites? Anything you want people to visit that you know we haven't spoken about? Or
well, you have probably spoken about this, but I'm going to speak about it again because I am drinking whiskey right now, which I got from a site called whiskeyandmore.co.nz.
Whiskeyandmore.co.nz.
They sell single malt whiskies at insanely awesome prices.
Deep discounts.
Deep, deep discounts. They also have like a good vodka and Hennessy and that kind of shit.
This has not been a paid announcement.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, I visited that site. I haven't bought anything. Do they have cigars as well?
No, sadly not. It's just liquid refreshments.
I always wanted to, guys. I mean, if you look at US cigar sites and you see how many you could get for like $60, beautiful, big, not really, not Cubans, but you know, from around there,
I'm not
big cigars. And you know, I've enjoyed the odd puff puff.
I don't know, man. I don't.
You're not a cigar guy.
No, I'd rather just smoke a cigarette.
You get some mouth cancer from that.
Like a cigarette, you can inhale.
Yeah.
I suppose you can inhale a cigar, but the whole point of the cigar is to not inhale it, but to let it like
taste it,
swim around your mouth cavity.
Yeah,
no,
and it does always. Now I think I can understand why it causes so much mouth cancer, and it's because it leaves my mouth feeling oily when I have a cigar.
Yeah,
and I think that oil, that oiliness, that contains poison.
And like the fact that you have this like large moistened things stuck in your face for a while. Like if you're like an avid cigar smoker, you have this thing in your mouth. And it's like, I guess it's like chewing tobacco.
The worst mistake I ever made. I just started up a cigar and then I decided I needed to go somewhere. I needed to go somewhere in my car. And I was like, no worries. I put the top down.
Yeah.
And then it started to rain.
Oh, man.
So I have a cigar in a convertible, very small cab. Had to put the top up.
Yeah.
And the smoke, it was stinging my eyes. And I was like, I was so happy. Everything was so good. Everything was so good. And then everything was not good.
Fucking Auckland weather, man.
Yeah. Just, you know, one of those evening, I'd call it a sun shower, moon showers.
Yeah.
And away it went. So that was whiskeyandmore.co.nz.
Yeah.
Probably they should give us money for that. I bet we sent them at least two visitors. Listener, if you have an interest in, you know, a fine single malt or vodka, I don't know why you would be interested in fine vodka, because let's be honest, it's basically an industrial product. There's no cachet. in vodka. It's just ethanol and water. But, you know, knock yourself out. But a nice single malt or even a blend.
Yeah, they've got blends, single malts. They've got a few Irish whiskeys.
What would you suggest there?
Well,
pick of the month, pick of the week.
Well, quite frankly, you can never really go wrong with a Lafroy.
Yeah.
And the Lafroy 10-year-olds are always cheaper here than anywhere else I've seen.
Yeah.
So right now the Lafroy 10 is going for $62.99.
And does it list a recommended price?
Yeah, RRP is $120. So you're saving
half price.
Yeah, you're saving like $57 on that bad boy.
Bloody hell!
And they've got a huge range. I mean, they've got 3 pages of just single malt whiskies.
Right.
Good stuff.
So if you like single malts, that's your site. I actually, I quite like, believe it or not, it's not very highbrow, Johnny Walker.
Yeah, well, they've got the blends here as well. They've got a.
I really like Johnny Walker Blue.
So you can get a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue for $199.
Right.
Retail is $400.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go, half price.
Yeah.
Good
and
Lord.
Have they got the green?
One moment, caller.
Stand by.
They've got black.
I only have black and red here.
They've got green. Yep. And that's $95.
Huh.
Usually $120.
Right.
Yeah, so you can immediately see there's savings all around.
Yep. There you go. So if you're if you like a nice drink, there you go.
You mean.
Knock yourself out. I like whiskey and dry.
Whiskey and dry.
Yeah. And let me just suggest, beloved listeners, if the only place you've ever had that is with Canadian Club, you are doing yourself a terrible disservice because Canadian Club really is not very good. So if you just say CC and dry, CC and dry. You're killing yourself. Get a Johnny Walker Black and Dry, and you'll be like, oh my God, this is a completely different drink. Now, what I want to promote, not necessarily related to, you know, a fine single malt, is a little YouTube video. Let me bring it up. Called How to Piss in Public from Last Pictures. And I don't know where these people are. San Francisco, maybe? Somewhere like that. I'm guessing it's US West Coast. It's LA or it's San Francisco, somewhere like that. And this gives you 5 or 6 different strategies on how to urinate in public without being noticed. And the best technique is the coffee cup, where...
I have to tell you, man.
Yep.
I watched that video earlier.
Yeah.
And you don't even know this, but I have used both of... Well, 2 of his 5 or 6 techniques already.
Yeah. Have you used the walking along, pissing on the wall, talking on the phone technique?
No, I used the cup.
Have you done the pissing under the car technique where you're lying beside the car in the gutter?
No, I was talking about now during the show.
All right. Just now. Just now you've done it.
Yeah.
Let me just have a sip. Oh, it's even better than Baldrick.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so the best technique that he had, now the key thing he says, I don't know if it's necessarily to piss in public. Once I did have to stop the car and piss behind a tree. It was urgent. I didn't think I was going to make it home.
Yeah. Well, so
I went and pissed behind a tree on Sandringham Road.
On Sandringham Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next to a primary school. Oh, is it an intermediate?
This is at night time, right?
Yeah.
No. Wednesday afternoon. Was this when you had the van or did you have the convertible?
Yeah, when I was working in the candy shop.
Oh, yeah.
It's not appropriate to make these jokes.
Sorry.
So the key detail he says for all of his techniques is, except the car under the car one, actually, I thought, is to be talking on a phone while you do it. His best technique is to get a coffee cup with a lid, like a Starbucks coffee cup with a lid, and just to pop the cap, keep your pants on under your fly, stick your penis in the cup with the top, the lid, covering your penis, and make sure you can engage in a fake conversation on the phone while you urinate one-handed. I couldn't see his dick when he was doing it.
I couldn't see it either. It was well hidden by
the cup. Was actually, in all of the videos, he is actually urinating.
Yeah. That took me by surprise as well.
That takes a cool video and makes it amazing. And the dude, charming. So it's in the show notes, How to Piss in Public. Not safe for work. You don't see a penis, but he is talking about pissing in public.
Yeah.
So... Well, maybe it's safe for some workplaces, but, you know, use your judgment. 500,000 views it's had now.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's what I want to push. Let's get on to the toot bag. The first one is from Sam McCosh, friend of the show. Won an Android phone from us, actually, and now has it. We'll have to talk to her about her experiences with it when she's had it for a bit longer. She won it 3 months ago, and I only sent it to her about a week or two ago.
Oh, good work, bro.
Yeah, I used it for a while myself.
Just to make sure that it worked, and, yeah, you know, as advertised.
I'm so stink. she says, saw this article and thought of your monster drinking. And this is an article on Gawker.com, so, you know, who knows how accurate it is, about a dead mouse discovered in a can of Monster energy drink.
Oh, my God. That shit'll kill you if you're a mouse.
Oh, my God, is right. Considering I had a monster today, even after reading it. So we've got a quote from this chap, Vitaly Suljic, who bought a can at his local supermarket and drank it. He's in the States, I guess, somewhere. This is a quote. I put it down and felt it was still heavy, so I backwashed it, and all this debris went into my mouth, says the 19-year-old. Then I looked in the can, and I saw the tip of the tail, and I vomited everywhere.
Oh. Jesus, man.
So he immediately got a lawyer, which makes me very suspicious. Makes me very suspicious.
Yeah, me too.
And they sent it to some lab where they did, you know, testing on the mouse. They say that the mouse was not, they couldn't see any trauma. They couldn't see that it was killed in a mouse trap, and they said it wasn't poisoned.
Other than its heart exploding from all the energy.
From the
that
amazingness
it got.
Of the energy. Sugar. Yeah. Right. it's basically a syrup, a suspension of sugar. Jeez, a super saturation, super solution. So the idea here is that it could be that the mouse got in there and drowned, and that's how it died. But I think this guy killed it and put it in there because he wanted to sue them and get a payday.
So,
but that might be wishful thinking because I really enjoy drinking the odd monster.
So, like, he must have had to, like, use a can opener to open the top, or, I mean, I don't know.
No, just a mouse is small and flexible.
I guess, yeah.
And so if you pushed it through gently, you know, there's not necessarily going to be trauma. And, in fact, you could quite easily kill a mouse by drowning it in monster before putting it into a monster can.
Yeah, that's true.
Just by putting it into a glass of monster. And it's very easy to acquire a mouse. You can go to a pet shop.
So do they pay him out, or like does he?
It hasn't happened yet.
Right. He just gets a lifetime supply of monster. Awesome.
But yeah, yeah. But I mean, if it was a legit suit, of course he wouldn't want that.
No.
I think that what he's hoping for is settle out of court and get this out of the press.
Man,
I think it's probably bullshit.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit.
It just seems unlikely. I mean, we get insects and stuff in our food all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
We've probably all eaten at least one insect today.
Yeah.
In fact, I had dal, so probably that contained heaps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And rice, and that probably contained some as well. Mm. We eat little things that we don't know we're eating all the time, and it's just something that we deal with because we always have.
Yeah, that's right.
And it doesn't do us any harm. But eating a mouse in a can of energy drink, it's not cool.
No, not cool.
It's not cool. So if it's legit, then they need to fix their factory so that this can't happen.
And this doesn't put you off monster?
No. A mouse is saving you from a mouse's volume of monster.
Okay.
The worst thing about monster is the monster. Jeez, it's good.
So what makes this different from V or
Big Can?
That's it.
Different flavor.
Okay. Right.
I really enjoy the flavor of
But essentially
monster.
It's the same shit, right? It's like chlorine heaps of sugar.
And caffeine and lots of sugar. And
okay.
Yeah, there is one which doesn't have sugar in it. Of course, just like V. I've never tried it. And there's one I think that's also like berry flavored, maybe.
Right.
Maybe that's the no sugar one.
So is the human race evolving? So
to consume this stuff? No. No, this is going to kill us. This is why people are fat.
Because okay. Right.
Soft drinks.
Because like the recommended dosage is like one of those small cans.
The recommended dosage is none.
Okay.
Yes. The recommended dosage is whole foods. Yeah. Fresh fruit and vegetables. Unprocessed grains.
Yeah, that's right.
Lean, you know, wild game. Fish that you caught your damn self.
My God.
Berries straight from the bush.
So
that's the recommended daily dosage of, you know, everything, really.
Man.
The recommended daily dosage of soft drink, zero.
Zero, that's right.
Zero.
Yeah.
Now, they might say, recommended daily dosage, no more than 2 cans. But, of course, they have a vested interest.
Oh, my God.
They don't have your interest at heart.
So how much of this do you drink a day?
On an average day, zero.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I had one today. Usually. It was probably the first one in a month.
Okay.
I don't drink it that often.
Fair enough.
Usually on the show.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, it makes me...
I gotcha.
And I like that. The listeners might not like that. Have a nice
No, I think thing. It makes a difference. It's good.
Next item from the toot bag. This is from Heath Splosion. Heath said, now this is about the readings we've had in the beginning of the last couple of episodes. I liked the readings. I think it could evolve to something really good, like a skit, perhaps a bit shorter, sharper. And that's probably fair. The last one was quite a long scene from Heat,
right.
A Robert De Niro Al Pacino scene. That wasn't the last one. The last one was the court case one, where someone is pretending not to know what a photocopier is.
Right.
It's completely real and it's completely hilarious, but it's a bit long. And so, you know, that's fair. Shorter and sharper. That's probably right. Probably the whole show. It's you know, it's probably fair criticism for the whole show. Shorter and sharper. It is better on the internet. But this is definitely long form media that I'm producing here. You know, you just put it on in the background.
Yep.
That is it from the toot bag. I mean, there were other things, but, you know, that's what I want to talk about. So let's get on to corrections. Last week I played a little bit of Minecraft during the show. Probably I should apologize for that. The reason that I played Minecraft during the show ostensibly was because I couldn't remember what the creator's name was. I'd said Moot, but I knew it wasn't Moot because Moot's the 4chan guy.
Yeah.
The creator's name is Notch.
Right.
Everyone knows that. And actually, speaking of Minecraft... If you've seen 1.4, you're probably not a player.
I know of it, and I've watched
there
people play.
There are dogs now. There are dogs now. There are wolves, and you can tame them. You can use.
I saw your tweet. Yeah, that's awesome.
I killed both of mine really quickly because around my my castle, my awesome castle, I've got a lot of lava, and apparently the dogs aren't very good at avoiding lava.
Oh no, I don't think many mammals are.
No. No. I mean, it's meant to be slow-moving stuff, but these dogs, you know, they bounce around and they move too quickly and they, you know, aren't very clever.
So, like, if, you know, lands, right?
Yep.
Would you go to a land and play Minecraft?
No.
It's like lands are like shoot-em-up games, right?
I wouldn't do that either.
Right.
I've never been to a land. I've visited a land with, like, a media pass, but I've never been to a land as, like, a player or whatever. Okay. If I went to a land, it would be to... trade, legally acquired,
right. For evaluation,
open source, public domain,
bits and pieces. Yeah, I got you.
You know, whatever.
I believe there's a land coming up pretty soon. Actually,
big one.
Yeah.
There is actually multiplayer Minecraft. You can do a multiplayer server. Okay. But the thing is that it seems to me that it's not really a Twitch game.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't really know how people are playing at multiplayer. What I imagine is that is build castles on adjacent hills.
Fun.
And that's it. The game is very strange. Yeah. I'm not really sure why anyone plays it.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Yeah.
It is an odd game. I mean, what you really are doing is digging.
And then building.
Yep.
So it's like lo-fi.
Yep.
But real time.
Yeah.
SimCity.
Yep, but you can't build like an airport or a waste treatment plant.
Because it's or in a the past. School.
It's
like way in the past.
It's not so much in the past as not real.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. So, I mean, you start, and there's only one person in the game. I guess in multiplayer there's more than one person.
Yeah.
There's one person. You spawn... I don't know if there's any rule. I haven't started many games because I started a game and I just continued it for a long time. I've only just started a new game recently when I started playing with the seeds, which we can talk about in a minute. My spawn was just on a beach. And when you start the game, you start with nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Hence the name Minecraft. you've got to mine shit.
You've got to mine shit. You've also got to do forestry, and you've got to do, you know, whatever.
It's interesting.
So you start with zero resources of any kind.
Yeah.
But you can dig with your hands. Okay. Dirt. You can't really dig rocks because it takes forever. And you can, like, pull down a tree with your hands.
Okay.
And then you can use, you know, a tree to fashion wooden implements. So you can make, like, a wooden pick. And then you can dig rocks a little bit. Okay. And then you can very quickly make, like, a stone pick or a stone shovel or a stone axe. And then you're playing with power. Because then you can actually do things relatively quickly.
Yep.
And you can evolve it fairly quickly from there, because you can find iron ore and you can smelt that and turn it into steel.
Okay.
And you can find coal and you can use that to smelt, or you can, you know, burn wood.
Yep.
And you can gather stone and you can build the foundry that you use to smelt the metal and the other ore, and you can find gold and you can find diamonds. And
so you're clearly, like, not limited, but also at the same time limited by whatever the dude who's made it has invented.
Exactly.
Right.
So new patterns are made available. I guess you'd kind of have to discover them. So, you know, you can make a compass and now you know your way around.
Okay.
Right. But there's no maps or anything that I've ever seen.
Right.
Maybe like a third party thing, like a cheat could probably generate a map of some sort.
Okay.
But the thing that makes the game actually fun is that when night falls, zombies come.
Awesome.
Right.
Zombies.
Zombies and giant spiders and skeletons with bows and arrows.
Right.
At night they come.
So that's what keeps
creepers
coming back.
And their creepers are scary. So they're quiet.
During the day you're making weapons to protect
yourself.
During
the day you're trying to build a structure to protect you from these things that come out at night.
Okay.
And you can see the sun. The day is only like 4 or 6 minutes long.
Right, okay.
Right, you don't have a hell of a lot of time.
No.
You've got to get you spawn on the beach with nothing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be there.
Dude.
Right? In 10 minutes there's going to be zombies around. So you start with nothing and you've got to work quick that first day.
Wow.
I mean, just digging a hole in the ground and putting dirt over your head is enough.
And you can do that. Okay.
You can do that. But it's not very nice to not know what's happening.
Yeah.
And if there are creepers above you when you dig, you know, your way back out. And it's horrible to be in the dark in this game. And you can hear the zombies.
Oh, man.
And you can hear the spiders hissing. And you can hear the clack of the bones of the skeleton as it moves around.
Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have a very strong interest in not messing around to begin with.
No, fair enough.
Now, once you've got, like, coal and stuff, and then you can make torches.
Right.
Like flaming torches.
Yeah.
That gives you a great deal more power, because the zombies they will come into a lighted area, but they don't spawn in a lighted area.
Okay,
they can only
cool.
spawn in the dark. But of course, when you go mining, you're going underground.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be nighttime for there to be zombies and creepers and skeletons and spiders underground. So when you go underground, that is fucking scary.
Right.
Because you can hear them. Like, you can hear bodies of water as well, like through the rock, you can hear water. So you never dig up.
Right.
Right, because the water will come down on your head. And even worse is lava.
Oh, man.
Right? But you can hear the zombies. And so it's like a constant. I mean, you can only carry, you can carry heaps of torches, but I carry usually 64, which is as many as you can hold in one inventory slot. And you're putting up torches constantly, putting up torches so that the caves that you explore, trying to find coal and iron and, you know, all this dumb shit that you don't really need. Turn the game off. If it's scary, you don't need to be playing. But so instead, I'm like, oh my God, like creeping through a cave, putting up torches, spotting, you know, minerals that I want and mining, and then like keeping an eye out and making sure that nothing's coming. And when I find anything, like building strategic structures so that they can't come
get through, right?
So that then I know that they're there, but I know that where I am, I can mine for a little bit. Never dig straight down.
Okay.
Because if you dig straight down into a cavern,
plummet.
Yeah, it's a really simple game. Really simple game, but there's just something about it.
Yeah, well,
something about it.
Like, just hearing you speak about it, you can see that you're well into it, and other people I've spoken to about it, sold.
Yeah,
I'm not a gamer. Like, it sounds great, but I don't even like solitaire. You know?
Right? No, you're not going to be into it. I think probably I should uninstall it.
Right. Okay.
Because I'm wasting time on it. I mean, look at my fucking to-do list.
Right.
One thing's crossed off.
Write a to-do list.
And yeah. Oh, I should put that at the top. I didn't put that on the list. What a dick.
Oh, man.
Something that's another thing that's kind of just started is being able to share maps.
Right.
Not what you've done with them, but you can share a seed string, which is used to generate a map.
Okay.
And so people have been like going through and finding cool maps, and now they can say, check this one out.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's got really cool stuff going on. And there are like crazy geological structures and so on,
so
which look really cool.
Each time you start a new game, you potentially get a unique,
yep.
a new unique
if
map.
You start one with a random seed, I think it is almost certainly completely unique.
Cool.
And they are vastly, vastly big.
Right.
Well,
haven't people like built life-size
Star Trek Enterprise?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Madness.
I think a lot of that stuff is built with cheats.
Right.
Like the huge gold pyramids and stuff. I think that's built with cheats and that. I mean, if you're cheating in that game, I think you're completely wasting your time.
Yeah.
Because it's a waste of time to begin with. But kind of the kind of the fun of searching and trying to defend yourself and,
yeah.
you know, slowly building up a resource base. And you can farm.
Right.
You know, you can grow food. There's like pigs and chickens and stuff, and you can, you can kill them for pork and you can cook it.
Cool.
You can make cakes, and you know, there's lots of really complicated things you can do because there's something called redstone, which you can use to build basically electric circuits.
Oh wow.
So and there's switches and stuff, and people have built like logic gates and wow. and so on. And like working computers in the game.
Man.
I cannot imagine how long it would take. And there's like tone blocks which play particular musical notes.
Right.
And you can, so you can get it to play songs and stuff.
Yeah.
I've never done any of that stuff because it would take so much time. And I've got to be able to just get into the game and then get the frig out.
Yeah.
Because even doing it the way I do, it's still, too much time in it. Anyway, that's that. Another thing, this isn't a correction, this is another apology for last week, the variable sound quality, and in some episodes. The thing is, the difficulty of producing a podcast, it's not difficult, but I'm expecting that this one's going to sound pretty good. Our levels are going to be fine because I've been able to record them in, discrete channels.
Well, I have a face for podcasts.
You have a face for pegging.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Mm. Pegging doesn't really have anything to do with faces. You have a face for cottaging.
Fuck you. Dogging, dude. Dogging.
Dogging? Yeah. All right. All right. What was I starting to say? Oh, Monster Energy drink. You failed me again. You failed me.
Just how great this particular episode is.
Oh, yeah. Now, so last week, the variable sound levels, it's because people weren't close enough to their mics. And I can't constantly monitor the levels because I have to do... I have to talk on the show and keep it on, kind of on track, as well as, actually monitoring the recording stuff. And the levels, they looked all right, and it sounded all right when I was recording it, but some people found the other guys to not be, speaking very loudly. It's because they weren't talking closely enough into their microphones. It's very simple. And I
speak
and I told
directly
them to.
Into the microphone.
Yep. Yep. And, so I'm very sorry if you had to mess around with your levels. I'm going to be loud because I actually talk into my mic. My mic is turned down lower than Darren's today.
Huh.
Which of us sounds louder? Well, hopefully I'll set it up so that we're pretty similar. But, I won't spend too much time on it. It takes a lot of time as it is.
Yep.
All right. So that's that. I'm sorry if the levels are not always perfect, but, if there was a person that could monitor that all the time, then sure.
Yeah, you need like a sound guy.
Yeah.
A couple of roadies.
And that would make it really easy. Would make that really easy. But, we have limited resources. We have limited time. And so it's not always going to be completely perfect. All right. Is there anything else?
Not for me, young man.
Not for me either. As mentioned, next week we'll probably have, this is the last kind of full episode of season one. Next week will be the WordCamp special. It's only about 20 minutes long. I can't remember if it's any good. I really enjoyed recording it because there were really good people down there. Jason's a really nice guy who runs the conference. And all the people were really nice. but I don't remember if it's funny or not.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Sadly, I missed it while we were down in Willy, but I'll keen to listen next week.
As always, you can check the site for the show notes.
Or if you have feedback, send email to comments@discourse.co.nz.
Or hit the talkback page on the site with any questions or comments, or if you have an idea for a guest, or even if there's something you'd like to speak about on Discourse yourself.
If you're really clever, you can send us an MP3 with your comments, and we'll play that next time.
Thanks for listening.
Sure.
Oh, actually, and that's the last time we're going to read that, because with season two, I'll change it up to a more relevant closer, because we talk about emailing and talkback pages and stuff that people never do. So we'll change it to like just Twitter and Facebook, probably.
Sweet.
And tell a friend. That's it. Thank you. Goodbye.
You're listening to the weekly show on
Wisconsin. Sorry, we're using that one.
What are you doing in